The following audio is from Harvest Fellowship. For more information about Harvest Fellowship, visit harvestabq.org.
I'm glad that you're here. I have another announcement. Our worship team, if you're interested, maybe you play an instrument or you sing, you want to be on our worship team, we have auditions for that this coming Saturday. You have to go on the website and register, then they email you all of the details so that you can come ready for that. And so I hope if that's your gift, we would love to give you a place to exercise that gift, to be who God created you to be. And let me tell you one way for you to pray for me this week. Tomorrow, I'll be leaving for El Salvador. Our church participates in a ministry called Feed One. How many of you sponsor a child through Feed One? A whole bunch of you. We feed just over 100 kids every month. Our kids are in Haiti, and several of us have actually been there to meet them. It's incredible. So every year, I take a new group of pastors to experience what Feed One does, and then I ask them, would you get your church on board so we can feed a lot more kids? And so I've got a new group of pastors that are going, and we're going to El Salvador tomorrow, and then I'll be back, all right? So this is how you pray for me. Pray that I get back for Mother's Day, because a couple of years ago, I did not make it back for Mother's Day on this very same trip, and that I was in trouble. I mean, that was not good with the mother of my children. So pray that I just pray I get back. So it's going to be a really, really good week. Hey, we are finishing a series called Breakthrough. Have you enjoyed this series? Pretend, at least make me feel good and pretend like you have. All right, we're in a series called Breakthrough. Today's the last Sunday, and I just want to say this to you. We are not going to stop seeking breakthrough, but we are going to finish this series, all right? So we're gonna keep pressing in and believing that we serve a God who does miracles. Now, the idea last week and this week is, what happens after the breakthrough? You know, maybe you've been asking for, you know, a breakthrough, and God gives it to you. Well, what now? I mean, was it all about the breakthrough, or is there more? How do I help others, you know, to experience breakthrough? And so that's what we're trying to answer. And so last week, we started in the book of Exodus, and we kind of followed the children of Israel, and they saw not just one, but two miracles. Number one, after 430 years as slaves, the Lord set them free. How many think that's a miracle when you are set free, right? I feel like today, maybe you're going to be freed from the past, from addictions, from whatever's holding you back, right? And he sets them free, and they begin on this journey, and then they run into another place. You know, if you ever heard the saying, between a rock and a hard place, that's where the children of Israel find themselves, because in front of them is this sea that they can't get through, and behind them, Pharaoh and his army are coming after them. And so God does this incredible miracle where the sea splits wide open, and they walk through on dry ground, and then the sea comes back, you know, back and just destroys their enemy. We ended last week with Exodus 14, verse 31, that says, when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him. And this helps us, because this really shows us that breakthrough is not just about the breakthrough. It's not just about that miracle, but breakthrough should give God the glory, and it should point people towards a loving Savior. When he showed his mighty hand here, it says that they feared the Lord, they trusted the Lord, they saw his mighty power at work. And so the Israelites, they continue on their journey. And we're gonna follow their journey today. We're going to keep going through the book of Exodus. And so they leave. And as they're leaving, you know, their enemies have just been defeated. And I mean, I like to think as they look back that, you know, there were pieces of chariots, you know, that were floating there in the sea. Kind of a reminder of God's mighty hand. And as they go away from this, I mean, they're in really good spirits. I mean, they're happy. Now, I'm going to tell a little bit on myself this morning. I make songs up quite often, all right? Like all the time. I just make songs up. And the truth is, I'm a happy guy, but the reason is because I don't know the words to like any songs. I'm just telling you. Like if you put a gun to my head and said, you know, give me the lyrics of one song and I won't kill you, I would die. Because I don't know the words to songs. So I make up the words to songs. I'll tell you a funny story. Couple of weeks ago, preached the message. I gave the altar call. People responded, and then we went into a short time of worship, and then we came back to pray. And I forgot when we began to worship, and I stepped back. I forgot to turn my microphone off. Okay, and so it's I'm not a great singer, but I like to sing. Anyone in that category? And so the sound team quickly figured out what I had done, and they turned me down so that you did not have to endure that, and because then you would need a break, another breakthrough. Like, help me heal my bleeding ears, Lord, right? But what we didn't catch is they forgot to turn me off in the recording, because we record the messages every week for our podcast. And so Tuesday rolls around, and my wife calls me. I'm in the office. All the staff were in my office. We were working on some things, and Lisa calls me. And when I answer, she is dying laughing, all right? She is just laughing, and she goes, I am literally in tears. This is so funny. I'm like, what is so funny? She goes, they recorded you at the altar call, and you are singing. And she goes, and that's not the best part. You're singing the wrong words. And I said, yeah, our youth pastor might get fired today. Because Pastor Tyler does the podcast. And he was sitting in my office. He's like, what did I do? And so within about 15 minutes, that was hopefully forever deleted from its existence. All right. They might have a recording. It was pretty bad. I'm just telling you. Why am I telling you this? Because as the children of Israel are leaving the Red Sea, the enemy has just been crushed. Someone in the group started to make up a song, and they just kind of wrote this song. It's in the next chapter, Exodus 15. I don't know how the lyrics go, but here's what the words say. It says, I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. I like this part. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. What a song, right? Like, he is high and exalted. He hurled them into the sea, right? This is awesome. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God. I will praise him. My father's God, I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army, he has hurled into the sea. They like that part. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned. This is like a morbid song, right? Can you imagine if like we're all worshiping, you know? He drowned. I don't know. All right. Your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, Lord, shattered the enemy in the greatness of your majesty. You threw down those who opposed you. You unleashed your burning anger. It consumed them like stubble. All right, it keeps going. I'm going to stop there, all right, because I might burst into song. But I mean, this sounds like some overcomers. Am I right? I mean, they are singing a song of victory. And they're traveling as this happens, and they come to a new city. It's a city called Marah. And the reason it's called Marah is because the water in Marah was so bitter that you couldn't drink it. Now, you got to understand, they've been delivered out of slavery. They walked through the sea. Now they show up, and now they can't even drink the water. And someone in their group is thinking, are we ever going to catch a break? I mean, why did every time we get through one thing, we have to face another? And I just want to remind you what we said last week, which was this. Life is full of storms, but that also means it's full of opportunity for breakthrough. Listen, storms are going to come, all right? Life's going to throw you curveballs. There's going to be things that happen that you don't like, that you don't want to happen, that you didn't ask to happen. That's just part of life. But I don't want to put the focus on the bad stuff that happens. I want to put the focus on the God who carries us through those storms. So there's possibility for breakthrough. Verse 25 says, so they're looking at the bitter water. Moses cries out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood, and he threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink. What a cool miracle, huh? Have you ever noticed that that often God works in unique ways, that often God doesn't do things the way you might do it, right? That often he has a different strategy, right? There's a story in the Gospel of Mark where Jesus, he does something that I think is kind of crazy. Mark chapter 8, verse 22 says, "They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man, and they begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand, led him outside the village." Watch this. "When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, 'Do you see anything?' He looked up and said, 'I see people, but they look like trees walking around.' Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home saying, 'Don't even go into the village.'" Is this story crazy to anyone besides me? I mean, did you see what Jesus just did, right? I told him myself, so now I'm going to tell on Lisa because we got to even it up, okay? So Lisa, every morning she feels an urge to clear her throat, and she does not do it like a lady, okay? It's like, I mean, it's nasty. It's big and loud. I can hear her all the way down the hall, and all of our girls have picked up on this habit too. I mean, when they spit, it's loud, right? And I'm like, girls, that is not going to be attractive to the boys in the future. You should, you know, but that's how they do it. And so this is what happens in my mind, my imagination, when I'm reading this story. This blind man comes, Jesus takes him by the hand. He takes him outside of the village, right? Gets him a little privacy. Can you imagine? Just imagine this for just a moment, okay? The guy is blind. He cannot see. He doesn't know what's about to happen, but he hears a noise. Do you know what he hears? He hears Jesus like getting ready, right? And can you imagine what the blind, like what is happening, right? What's going on? And all of a sudden, spit, right? And it's like, listen, we read these stories and we're just like, oh, Jesus healed the blind man. This is nuts. He spit in his eyes. And he goes, "Do you see anything?" And he opens his eyes. He's like, "Well, it's a little bit blurry. I mean, you know." Well, you have spit in your eyes. I think when it said Jesus put his hands on him again, he's just like, "Let me wipe the spit out of your eyes," right? And he does this, and then he's like, "Oh, look, I can see clearly now," right? The spit is gone, right? here's what's crazy. Jesus doesn't do another miracle like this. Keep reading the Gospels. He heals another blind man, but this time he spits in the dirt, which that's an appropriate place. Thank you, Jesus. And he makes some mud. He puts the mud in it. But Jesus didn't. If you read the Gospels, you see Jesus healing the blind and the deaf and the lame and the paralyzed. He casts out demons. But he doesn't do the same thing twice, right, in the same way. And I have a theory, and this is what my theory is. I think that the reason that happened is because if Jesus did the same miracle the same way every single time, we would have a tendency to glorify the method rather than the one who does the healing and sets us free. Are you following me? I mean, listen, if today, I'm not going to do this, okay? But if today I had you come to the altar and I spit on you and your miracle happened, right? You would go and you would tell your friends, and by next Sunday we would have people coming and they'd come and be like, "Pastor Jason, will you please spit on me?" Right? We would glorify the method, right? It's like, listen, in this story, it's not about the spit, right? Praise God. It's about the fact that Jesus is stronger than blindness. He overcomes. But what we do is we're always trying to analyze and we want to figure out the method, right? Well, you know, this evangelist does it this way and this guy does, and if I hold my hands and then the miracle. Listen, it's not about the method. It's about Jesus. And what I've learned, I don't always like this all the time, but what I've learned is that God does what he wants, when he wants, and how he wants to do it. We don't get to play God. That's why he's God. He's on the throne. You know, he's doing it the way he wants. So we go back to the Israelites, and chapter 16, it says this: on the 15th day of the second month, so this is the timeline, 15th day of the second month, after they had been set free from Egypt, in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and we ate all the food we wanted, but you've brought us into this desert to starve the entire assembly to death. So I think my math is right. The 15th day of the second month, they've now been they've been free for 45 days, right? 45 days. And in those 45 days, now they've seen three miracles. They were set free, the sea was parted, and the bitter water was made clean. And you might think that if you saw three massive miracles in the span of 45 days, you might think that you would be encouraged. You might think that your faith would be high, that you might think that you would believe for more breakthroughs. But what happens is these guys, I mean, they're not encouraged. They're what I call hangry. They're hungry and they're angry, right? I mean, they're upset. I don't know if you've ever heard statements like this. This is what they were saying. I'm so hungry I could eat a horse. Have you ever heard someone say that? Right? So the horse says, moo, don't eat me, right? Here's what I would say. Some of you know my eating habits. I'm so hungry I could eat a vegetable, right? Listen, I got to be pretty hungry to choke down some vegetables, all right? I'm just telling, did any of your parents, did they try to make you eat your veggies? Did they try to guilt you into eating your, man, I remember, I got peas on my plate. I ate all the meat, right? But not the peas. And my mom is like, Jason, there are children in Africa who are starving to death and they would give anything to have those peas. I'm like, well, let's send it to them, Mom. I mean, if they're starving, let's just help them out, you know? I mean, these guys are hungry, right? Here's what you need to know. I mean, this is just some practical advice. When you are hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, it affects your perspective. That's what happened. I mean, they'd seen the miracles of God, but they've been out in the desert 45 days. They're getting hungry. They're getting tired. They're getting sunburned. They're getting worn down. And it affects their perspective because they had just seen the miracles of God. So I just have some practical advice for you, because some of you, to see your breakthrough, all you might need to do is go eat a good meal or take a nap or get a good friend to confide in. Like listen, not all breakthrough is this super spiritual, shofar-blowing moment, all right? Sometimes it's really practical and you just need to take care of yourself. And God knew this and God had a plan, right? In fact, I should tell you this too. As I'm reading this, right? They remember what they said? They said, if we had only died by the Lord's hand in Egypt, because there we sat around pots of meat and they ate all that they wanted. It's amazing how sometimes we look back at our past, and we have these rose-colored lenses. I mean, these guys, it's like they're like, you know, Moses, why'd you take us away from Tucanos? Did anyone eat at Tucanos? Anyone there? Listen, if you haven't been there, let me just tell you about it. And I know it's second service, you're going to be hungry, but let me tell you. They bring you, at Tucanos, they bring you all the meat you want on swords. You have a little thing. It's got a red end and a green end. When you're hungry, you put the green end up. When you put the green end up, an army, I'm telling you, with swords filled with meat, come to your table, and they just carve it off right onto your plate. And when you get full, you turn it on red. And you would think, by the way, these children of Israel are talking, you would have thought that they were at Tucanos eating, right, all of the meat, putting their little green light up. And I just want to look at them and go, you are slaves. You weren't at Tucanos. You were abused. You were forced to make bricks. Don't you remember? But sometimes I meet believers that are like this. Like, oh, but my life before, man, it was so fun. It was so fun getting drunk with all my friends. Do you not remember puking your guts out the next morning? Right? It was so fun getting high with my friends until you wrecked into the telephone pole, you idiot, right? Are you following me? Don't look back on the past with fondness. Can I say idiot? Is that okay? All right, I don't know. I saw some moms like, So I don't know. Don't look back on your past with this fondness. Listen, your enemy, the devil, wants to destroy you. I'm telling you, he's causing you to look back, go, oh, maybe I want more of that life. But God has a plan. Verse 13 says, they're hungry, they're hangry. Quail came and covered the camp. And in the morning, this is crazy, right? Can you just, like, we have quail here in New Mexico, right? I have quail in our neighborhood. Can you imagine, right? A little quail, they run kind of funny. They all come running in, and then they just topple over dead so they can eat them, right? This is crazy. The quail come, and in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. And when the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost began to appear on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, what is it? For they didn't know what it was. Moses said to them, it is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. Verse 31, the people of Israel called the bread manna. It was white like coriander seed, and it tasted like wafers made with honey. So here's what I picture, is they woke up and they walked out of their tent that morning, and there were chicken minis from Chick-fil-A laying all over the ground. Have y'all ever had the chicken minis? Do yourself a favor if you haven't and just go try them this week, okay? Tell them I sent you, and they'll know. So, I mean, they take chicken nugget and a bread, and they put this honey butter on it. Now I'm talking about me, and now I'm talking about, oh, you're hungry, right? This is, the children of Israel walk out. They're probably quail minis, right? Not chicken minis. And there's these quail minis all over the ground. The Lord has provided. Has the Lord provided for anyone else? The Lord has provided. But it seems like no matter what God does, no matter how many miracles he does, no matter how extravagant the miracle is, it seems like it's never enough for the children of Israel. So I'm going to fast forward to the very end of Exodus, Exodus chapter 32. Moses goes up on the top of Mount Sinai to meet with the Lord, and he goes up there, and while he's up there, something happens. It says this in verse 7, then the Lord said to Moses, go down, because your people whom you brought up out of Egypt have become corrupt. They've been quick to turn away from what I commanded them, and they've made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, these are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. This is amazing, because God has just done miracle after miracle after miracle, but they build themselves an idol, right? They build it because they forget. We forget so easily. We change our minds. I mean, we're so fickle, and we want to follow the newest trend and the latest fad. And they forgot what God had done. And so they build this idol. Now, idols are made to be worshipped, all right? When you build an idol, you're setting something up, and you're saying, this is important to me. I'm going to give this priority status in my heart. Friends, can I tell you something this morning? You were created to worship. You were created, like, there is something about your being that longs to worship something greater than yourself. It's how you were created. You're going to give your worship to someone or something. We tend to worship what we trust, right? If you trust your job, it can become an idol, and you will begin to worship your job. If you put your trust in your bank account or your 401k, right, you will begin to trust that. And I'm just saying, your heart will begin to worship. You may not write a song, right? Here's the problem today, is when I say worship to a bunch of church people, what you envision is a group of people on a stage with instruments, and they're leading songs, and their words are on the screen because of people like me who can't remember the words. Right? And the lighting comes down because we set the mood for worship. And let me just tell you, that is an expression of worship, but that's not all worship is. You were created to worship. Worship is a lifestyle. Tomorrow morning when you get up and you go to your job, it's an opportunity to worship the Lord with the gifts and the talents that He's given you. And when you show up and you give it your best and you're honest and you're a light in a dark place, then you are worshiping the Lord. You were created to worship. I'm just telling you. And so we worship what we trust, but here's the other thing. We trust what we worship. It goes both ways. You begin to trust that in which you put your heart, that gets the priority. And this is why it's so important, because the enemy does not want you to trust God. So one of his lies, he's going to try to get you to believe God is not good. God is not for you. God is not going to heal you. Why has it taken him so long? Why hasn't he shown up? Why is my child still far from the Lord? Why is my marriage still broken? Why? He's going to try to get you to question, why did this happen in my life? Because the next logical answer to that is, maybe God is not as good as I thought he was. And if you don't think he's good, then you won't trust him. If you don't trust him, you won't worship him. If you don't worship him, then he doesn't have your heart, and the enemy wins. Here's the people of God. They've put up an idol, right? They made this calf to begin to worship. And ultimately, I'm not going to read the rest of that story, about four different messages just in that story. But ultimately, Moses, he doesn't get to take the children of Israel into the promised land. And so the baton passes from Moses to Joshua. So you turn to the next, to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1 says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I'll give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon. He outlines the boundaries. And from the great river Euphrates and all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea to the west. Watch this. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. I just want you to hear my heart this morning, because what we're reading about is the baton of faith being passed from one generation to the next. Harvest, the next generation matters. Harvest, we have to figure out how to lead the next generation into relationship with Jesus, or we're just all going to get older and we're going to die and the faith will die with us. We have to figure out how to pass the torch. Listen, moms, dads, grandpas, grandmas, if you're not discipling someone of the next generation, you're failing. You've got to do this. You've got to help pass the baton. And let me just tell you, one of the reasons that it's so important is because you're not just fighting for your breakthrough, you're fighting for the breakthrough for the next generation. Can I tell you what will happen? If you fight the battle today, then it doesn't have to be passed down to the next generation. There's this thing called generational curses. I hear people all the time. It's like, well, pastor, you don't understand. My grandpa was an alcoholic. My dad was an alcoholic. I can't help it. I'm made to be, and I have to be this way, pastor. You don't understand. It's always been that way. Listen, it will always be that way until someone stands in the promise of God and says, it doesn't have to be that way. I can be the one that stops this. It's not going to go to my kids. It's not going to go to my grandkids. And you know what happens when you reverse it? Now it's not a generational curse. Now it's a generational blessing. Can I just tell you, the blessing is so much more powerful than the curse. If you research it, the curse only goes so many generations, but the blessing extends 10 times farther than that. We saw such a great example of this just this week. Our dear friend Joy finished her race here on this earth. And I was with the family, spent a lot of time with the family in the last week. And one of the grandsons said to me, he said, you know, Pastor, I was just a rebellious teenager. I was doing whatever I wanted. I was living for myself. I was just being selfish. And he's like, but my grandmother prayed for me. And every time I was there, she encouraged me and she loved on me. And here's what we saw, right? Is that one generation can fight for the next generation. And when that next generation steps into the role that God has given them, it is completely different. Because now, if we do it right, whatever generation you're in, the next generation gets to build on your shoulders. They don't have to start where you started. Now, they're starting at a different place. If we do it right, they're not going to fight the same battles that we fought. And if you look at the children of Israel, if you look when Joshua takes over, they still had battles to fight. But they fought different battles. They didn't go back to the sea. They didn't go back to the manna. They didn't go back to Mara. They now had new battles. But guess what? They knew how to fight the battles because they had watched the other generation fight the battles. They learned how to trust God. They learned how to pray prayers of faith. They learned this by watching mom and dad and grandma and grandma. They watched that and they learned how to walk in the fear of the Lord. And now when this generation with Joshua, when they come to Jericho and there's walls that need to come down, they're like, oh, it's no big deal. Don't you remember the water and the sea? And don't you remember? We can tear these walls down because God is big and he is good. They still fought battles. And guess what? They were victorious. They were victorious. The Lord leads them into the land that he's promised. You know why? Because God always keeps his word. Always. I just feel like I need to tell somebody here today because you have a word from the Lord and you've been waiting for it to come to pass and you don't know why it hasn't happened and you don't know what's going on. Can I just tell you, God always keeps his word. I don't know. I don't understand his timing. I don't understand his methods, but I do trust him. And somebody today, you need to trust the Lord for the word of God that he has put into your heart. Over the next 6 years, the Israelites, they systematically defeat enemy after enemy. They take more land and more land until they have possessed everything that God had promised them. I mean, they cross the Jordan and they defeat an enemy and they take his land. They defeat an enemy, they take that land. They defeat an enemy, they take that. I mean, they are just marching forward. They're trusting God. They're learning how to follow his spirit. And they're advancing the kingdom of God. But Joshua knew this. He knew this. I don't think it's just about the Israelites. I think it's for us today as well. He knew that humans, we have a proclivity to forgetfulness. I mean, that we quickly forget. I mean, think about, we haven't even read all the miracles, but they cross, you know, they get out of slavery, and then they cross the Red Sea, and then they forget. And then God heals the water, and makes it clean to drink, and then they forget. And then they get chicken minis, and you would think that would do it, but then they forget. And they just keep going. And here's the deal, because I'm not ragging on the Israelites, because I've seen some of us do it as well, is that God will do something for us, but the next time a storm comes, we're like, oh my gosh, look at the storm. Get your eyes off the storm and put them on Jesus, who has always brought you through, who will still bring you through, and who always will bring you through. So Joshua knew, he's like, oh, they're going to forget. Because he'd seen it, right? He was Moses' aide. He saw him forget time and time. Can you imagine the conversations between Moses and Joshua, right? Like private conversations, like, oh my goodness, when is it ever going to be enough, right? I mean, the quail and the manna and the mirror, like, when's it ever going to be enough? So he knew that they were going to forget. So years earlier, they were at the sea and God opened it up. Now, under Joshua's leadership, now they're at the Jordan River. This is just another example of that Joshua learned from the previous generation about the power of God. Because now they're standing at the Jordan River, and another miracle happens, and the Jordan split wide open. They walk through the Jordan River on dry ground. I mean, it's another miracle. But Joshua does something. Joshua chapter 4, Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So here's what's happening. They're crossing the Jordan. There's 12 tribes that are part of this big group called the Children of Israel, right? And he says, all right, I need a leader from all 12 tribes. When you get to where the priests are, by the way, where the priests are was where the Ark of the Covenant is. That was representative of the presence of God. So when you get to the place where the presence of God is, I want you to pause. I want you to pick up a rock, and I want you to bring it with you to the other side of the river. And then he says this, verse 6, in the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them. He's saying, look, when the next generation comes and says, is God faithful? You take them to that pile of stones and you say, you know what this is, son? You know what this is, daughter? This is proof that God is faithful. These stones came out of that river, and God opened up that river, and we walked through on dry ground. And these stones help us to remember. You know why, son? Because we have a tendency to forget. We forget the faithfulness of God. We forget the goodness of God. Listen, God's goodness is not reliant upon your perception of current circumstances. Whether you think God is good right now likely is because of whatever. If you're facing, you know, your future is bright, you probably believe God is good today. But if you've come today and you're facing an impossibility, you may not think that God is good. Listen, God is good all the time. But we forget this. So I've come to ask you on the last Sunday of this series, I've come to ask you to remember. To remember what God has done. I have some rocks over here. They're a decoration. People ask all the time what they're for. I say, if people don't like me, they can stone me. It hasn't happened yet. Here's what happens. They're going through the Jordan, and they pick up the rocks, and they come back, and they're making this pile, right? Let me tell you, so we've had some amazing breakthroughs in the last 7 weeks, amazing. I had three more come in this week. I'll just tell you real quickly. So I had a lady, she emailed me last Sunday. She said, Pastor, I've had such a struggle with anxiety. It was so intense that for the last 3 years, I've not been able to be alone by myself. I've always, for 3 years, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, I've always had to have someone with me because of my anxiety. She said, Pastor, this week the Lord set me free. And for the first time, I went to the grocery store by myself. That's huge, right? So here's what we do. You know, we put a rock down and we say, you remember? Do you remember when that lady was set free from anxiety? God is good. He is powerful, and he can do it again. I had a family email me. I way don't have the time to go into the details, but they experienced a horrible tragedy when their baby was stillborn. Life was crumbling in around them. But guess what's happening tomorrow? Tomorrow, their breakthrough baby is being delivered into this world. And we're going to tell the story one day. We're going to say, do you remember when the enemy thought that he was winning? Do you remember when he stole that life away? Do you remember when that stupid devil, he felt like he had us, right? But he didn't, because our God is bigger and he is able, and he breathed new life into this family. Do you remember when that happened? And we put another rock down. I had someone else email me this week. You'll hear the details later. They had a massive financial breakthrough this week. $6,000 financial breakthrough. We put another rock down. We say, do you remember the faithfulness of God? Do you remember how he got us through? We say, do you remember when God healed Mike's back and he walked in with a cane and he left without it because God healed him? Do you remember when that happened? We say, do you remember that guy in Cuesta whose leg was shorter than the other? And while he was worshiping, because he was created to worship, his leg mysteriously, supernaturally grew back to match the other. Do y'all remember when that happened? And I've told you some of my stories. And you're like, you remember how when Pastor Jason was young, how that truck ran over for him and God healed everything except his brain, right? Do you remember how God did that, right? And I'm just telling you, in this room are story after story after story of the goodness of God, of the power of God. And I've come to ask you today, let's remember. Let's not forget what God has done. Listen, I know some of you are discouraged today. I'm not trying to just give you a pep talk. I'm trying to put your eyes on Jesus. He's the only one that will never let you down. He's the only one who will always, always, always be there. He is good and he loves you. He loves you more than I can explain today. So why don't you stand with me today so we can find a way to end. All right, can you tell I'm excited? Man, God is good. All right, so I'm gonna do a reverse altar call today. All right, it's gonna seem really weird because usually the ask is if you need something from God, come meet me at the altar. You're used to that. Totally different this morning, okay? So I feel like I needed to warn you because it's going to throw you off. Here's what I'm asking, reverse altar call. If God has been good to you, if God has given you a breakthrough, if you've seen a miracle, I'm not talking like just in the last 6 weeks. If you can testify today, I'm not going to ask you to come up here. If you can testify about the goodness of God, will you come and join me? Will you just come down here? Will you walk down here? And we're going to listen, your movement today, you are testifying of the goodness of God. You're stepping out. You know what you're doing? You're telling the enemy, you know what? You thought you had me, but God had me better. He took care of me. He restored me. He saved my marriage. He healed my body. He gave me that breakthrough miracle that I needed. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Is your faith growing at all? Do you see all of the people that are moving, that are testifying, that are saying, listen, God is good. Lord. I know this. I know some of you came. You know God's good, but you don't feel like he's good right now. And that's okay. That's okay. We're not led by how we feel. We're not led by our emotions. We're led by what we know. We're led by the promises of God because you can stand on them because they'll never. Oh my goodness. Do you see this? You see the God that we serve? I don't know about you. It makes me go, oh, we can do anything. We're invincible. We can pray. We can move mountains. You believe that? All right, so now that I've got you here, who needs a breakthrough? Who needs a breakthrough? Because you coming here, you've had a breakthrough. That doesn't mean you don't need another breakthrough. The Israelites, golly, they needed like one after the other. It's not a bad thing. Who needs a breakthrough? Because now we're going to pray. We're going to believe. Okay, we're going to believe for breakthrough today. But I think you can believe maybe a little better because you just testified to the goodness of God. In fact, let's do this. I feel it so strong because you were created to worship. Let's just begin right now. Let's begin to worship. And before we even sing a song, and when we do, I'm going to turn my mic off, I promise you. But can you just do this? Can you begin worship right now by ascribing to God the character that he already has? Okay, I'll lead you. God, you are good. You are faithful. God, you are there for me. Lord, in my time of need, you rescued me. You came for me. You saved me. You provided for me. Because God, you are strong. You are strong. You are strong. You are more than able. God, you are good. And so we worship you. We say, holy is your name. We give you the glory today, and we give you the honor today. And God, we worship you. We worship you this morning. We worship you. Yes, great are you, God. You're the God of breakthrough. You're the God of miracles. All right, we're going to pray. We're going to pray right now for breakthrough. A whole bunch of people said, I need breakthrough. And I feel the Lord stretching us, so some of this may stretch you a little bit. If your miracle today that you need is a physical healing, I'm not trying to embarrass you or put you on the spot, but if that's the miracle you need, would you raise your hand right now? You need a physical healing, and if you're not raising your hand, would you find someone that's near you and just put an arm on their hand on their shoulder? Let's just believe right now for a miracle. I just I feel like the Lord wants to do this type of miracle today. So let's just believe for it. God, we believe that you are a miracle working God. We believe that you are the great healer. We believe, God. Lord, right now we're asking you for breakthrough in this specific area of our friends' lives. We're asking you right now to heal. We're asking you, God, right now. Lord, you're the God who heals backs. You're the God who causes legs to grow. You're the God who opens blind eyes. You're the God who heals. You're the God who restores. You're the God who can take care of any sickness, any pain, anything that's going on in our physical bodies. Lord, you created us. You put us together. You know exactly how we're designed. And so, God, right now, by your mighty power, Lord, will you begin to work inside of bodies to put things back to the original design, the way you made us, the way you created us for. God, we pray right now, Lord, for healing to take place. We say, you're a miracle working God. In Jesus' name. If you were prayed for and if it's something you can test, I would encourage you to some of you can't, but I'd encourage you to test and to see how God's already working in you. Let's pray for other breakthroughs. Lord, I pray right now. Well, I just felt led to call that one out. But Lord, we pray right now for breakthroughs of every single kind. Every single kind. Lord, I pray for financial breakthroughs right now. Lord, friends that don't know how they're going to make ends meet, pay the bill, something hanging over their head, it's causing stress and anxiety. Lord, I pray right now for financial breakthrough. Lord, you did it this week. Lord, for my friend Rachel, and you can do it again. Lord, I pray, Lord, right now for financial breakthrough. Lord, I pray right now. Lord, we go all the way back to the beginning of the story of the Israelites, and you began by setting them free. Lord, I pray right now for the gift of freedom, Lord, in our lives. I pray right now that in the authority of Jesus Christ, that generational curses would be broken, that we would no longer believe the lie that it's always been that way and it will always stay that way. Lord, I pray right now that you would break, Lord, the addictions. Lord, break those generational ties, break the spiritual ties with the past. Lord, we pray right now, Lord, for the gift of freedom. Lord, you said that you came to give us life to the full. It says that you came to give us freedom and that we can only find freedom in you. Lord, I pray right now for freedom to be who you created us to be. Lord, I pray right now, God, for relational miracles. God, I pray for broken marriages to be restored, healed right now. Begin that process. Begin a process right now. Lord, I pray, Lord, for the ability to forgive someone who has hurt us, who has pained us. Help us, Lord, to be able to let go so that we can begin to move forward. I pray, God, for lost loved ones who are far from you, Lord, that they would come back, that you would turn their hearts towards you. Lord, we pray that right now. Lord, we pray, God, for every kind of breakthrough. Lord, today, I pray that you would break fear and anxiety and depression in Jesus' name. Lord, I'm praying for someone today who's so gripped with the fear and the anxiety that they're not sleeping well. God, I pray that you would break that right now in Jesus' name, that the most restful, peaceful sleep would come tonight and that you would just drive the enemy out of their lives, out of their heart right now. That an anxious heart, Lord, we come to you with an anxious heart and we're asking you to trade for a peaceful heart. And I pray right now that we speak the peace of God right now over anxious hearts. I pray right now for the peace that doesn't make sense. It's beyond understanding, Lord, to come into our lives right now. May the peace of God, Lord, just come like a warm blanket and wrap around us and bring comfort. Lord, I pray for the brokenhearted. Lord, you are near to the brokenhearted. I pray, Lord, for those that are asking today, why? Why this? Why me? Why now? Why not? All the whys. I pray right now, Lord, you come near to the brokenhearted. You're the only one that can give hope. You're the only one that can give answers. And so Lord, we ask you. God, we're asking you for every kind of breakthrough today. And Lord, it's so cool. We're testifying of your goodness, of your power. of your faithfulness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me just read this over you and then we'll get out. Joshua 1, I just feel, I'm going to proclaim this over you. God says, as I was with Moses and Joshua, Pastor Jason and Rachel, whoever, I will be with you. I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Be strong. Be courageous, because I will lead you to inherit all that I have promised you. We have this blessing that I do at the end of every service. I just want to bless you today, that as you're leaving, the Lord would bless you, cause his face to shine upon you, give you grace now and forever. Harvest, go be a church.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Fellowship podcast. For more information, visit harvestabq.org.